I have a particularly blunt friend who a number of years ago asked me, why are you living in such a way to make yourself miserable? If that question fits you, you're welcome to it. Why do we refuse the invitation to life? Second, couple more questions. Who is your God? What is your image of God? Take a moment. It's the first thing that comes to your mind, the first image. What I want to propose is that the two questions are interrelated. Why do we live our lives in such a way as to make ourselves miserable? And who is the God that we're worshiping? Why do we do the very thing we ought not to do? In fact, in our heart of hearts, we don't want to do. And the thing we ought to do, and in our heart of hearts want to do, that we do not do. How crazy is that? We are a mystery even to ourselves. And if we are a mystery, God's even more of a mystery. What is the God presented in the gospel today? Jesus is clearly talking in the parable. First of all, he's talking to the chief priests and the elders, and you know they're going to get it hard. He's talking about God his Father, and God his Father seems like this mean, bloodthirsty, vengeful, unreasonable potentate. After he gets turned down for the wedding by all these people, he kills them all and then burns their village. And then, when he invites everybody in, and he sees a fellow there who's not wearing a wedding garment. I don't know about you, but I don't walk around all the time with a wedding garment on, ready for that invitation. He throws him out, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. What's up with that? Is that the kind of God that we have? C.S. Lewis, when he lost his wife to cancer, struggled with that question. Is God some kind of a cosmic sadist who gives us one another and then steals our loved ones away and causes all kinds of mischief in our lives? He had to struggle with that. He had to struggle through it, and he came through it in faith. God is not a sadist, and he's not a slave driver. If we're driven in our lives to try to impress God, we're not really dealing with the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're making ourselves miserable, and we're worshiping a God of our own making, you know, because we're wounded and because we have a father wound, perhaps. Whatever the reason is, the God that we worship does not resemble the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, rich in mercy, slow to anger. Remember, at the beginning of the parable, the invitation went out twice. What king would do that? The invitation went out twice to this wonderful banquet. Come to the feast. The response was a violent one. They killed the messengers, the prophets. But God, who is always about diffusing the good, sends out the invitation to everybody. God's an inviting God, and what God invites us to is life in abundance. It's not death. Life in abundance. And we can experience that here and now. When we sang, I will live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Think about what we're saying and singing there. We are not only in this house of the Lord, but in the house of the Lord that is you and is this community. Be aware that we can choose to live in this space, in this spiritual space, all the days of our life, and get a foretaste and promise of what awaits us when this life is over. Eternal life has begun already with the coming of Christ, and it lives in you. You were baptized into Christ. So we could talk about eternal life as something down the road a while, or we can recognize that it already is here and now. And we walk in that life. That's the God whom we love. He loved us first. And that's why we shouldn't make ourselves miserable. God doesn't want that. God's not a sadist or a slave driver. God is the one who invites us up to a mountain retreat. Do you love the mountains? There's something about the mountains that kind of whisk away all the little problems, gives us a new perspective on what we're worried about and miserable about. God is the God, according to the first reading, who invites us up to this holy place. Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in God's holy place? The psalm tells us, the one with clean hands and pure heart. Clean hands, no blood on our hands. Pure heart, I desire one thing, God, God's will. I desire that. That's a pure heart. And we learn to do that little by little with God's grace. So that's the God we meet here in this holy place, 50 years old. And we have accepted the invitation to come to the feast. It's an abundant feast. It's a feast of love and abundance, good food, rich wine. Eternal life is happening now. Accept the invitation.